scripture this morning. Wow, I encourage you to do this. The music, Angie, you must have picked it out, huh? Wow, does that tie in with scripture? What he did for us and the price that he paid so we could be free from sin. And so listen to scripture very carefully, because it sure ties in with the worship music.
Deuteronomy 16, 18 through 20. You shall appoint for yourselves judges and officers in all your towns, which the Lord your God has given you, according to your tribes, and they shall judge the people with righteous judgment. You shall not distort justice, you shall not be partial, and you shall not take a bribe. For a bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and corrupts the decisions of the righteous. Justice, and only justice, you shall pursue, that you may live and possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you.
Romans 3, 23 through 26. Everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's glorious standard, and all need to be made right with God by his grace, which is a free gift, which we can't earn, and we don't deserve. They need to be made free from sin through Jesus Christ. God sent him to die in our place to take away our sins. We receive forgiveness through faith in the blood of Jesus' death. That showed that God always does what is right and fair, as in the past when he was patient and did not punish people for their sins. And God gave Jesus to show today, to show us today that he does what is right. God did this so he could judge rightly and so that he would be just and the justifier of the one who has fallen, who has faith in Christ.
You may be seated. Let's pray. God, as we talk about you, who you are, I pray for that revelation to see you more clearly, that you are a perfectly just God in a world that is very broken and unjust. In the name of Jesus, amen. So many years ago, I grew up about 5 miles out of town on Stony Lake. And at the beginning of the road, there was an old lady who lived there. And one night, a guy broke into her house, tortured her and bound her up, poured gasoline over all through the house and lit it on fire, and she was burned alive. He was caught because he had spilled some gasoline on himself and burned himself. They arrested him, and it seemed like, I think it was only a couple of weeks later, he was released because of a legal technicality. Is that fair? And a few years ago, I used to be a pastor at Riverview Church, and one night I got a call from the senior pastor. His three-year-old daughter had been sick, and he was crying and said she died in his arms. Is that fair? She is three. Do we not live in a world that is not fair? It is not just. And just watch the news and how criminals are celebrated, how politicians can lie and lie and get caught in their lie and continue to lie, and there's no justice. I don't know about for you, but there's times there's anger that rises in me because this is not right. And yet there feels like, what do you do? But we need to remember, number one, that God is always just. But number two, when you look at the world, we are broken, sinful people, and you will never find perfect justice. And we need to remember that all that God does is perfectly just, and he judges perfectly. But we're not God. Do you know everything? Is your knowledge and wisdom perfect? I think sometimes we think it is, but how far from the truth that is. There's times in my own wisdom it's like, God, this is not fair. And I think we often wrestle with God. There's nothing wrong with wrestling with God. But my argument all along, when we're wrestling with God, at the end of the day, where do you land? Do you land that he is perfect in every way? Or do you begin to get angry with him and doubt him? Because when we look at this world, there's times you go, where is God? Or we go, why? Why? Why was the man not convicted for evil? But I want to say we need to remember there will always be justice. We might not see it here on earth. And that justice we need to tremble over. In Psalms 97:2, it says, righteousness and justice are the foundation of God's throne. That's how he operates. Because he's perfectly just, he is perfectly righteous, he is perfectly just. But if you look at the world and take your eyes off him, you're going to question him. And when you see evil people seem to prosper with no consequences, it does feel unfair. But remind yourself, there will be justice. And that justice is eternal justice. That's the scary part. And that is the part where I feel like we need to tremble. Because how often we justify our unforgiveness towards someone. We justify our anger towards someone. But yet the church or the scripture tells us, be careful how you judge. Number one, to forgive, but how we judge. Because we'll be judged the way we judge. If I judge with mercy and grace, so forth. But if I judge in self-righteousness, beware. Well, I would never do that. Oh, without the grace of God, you would. How we underestimate the grace of God. And we get on our high horse and we condemn people. I think here's the greater sin for Christians. We judge the unbeliever harshly. And without what God did in our life, we would be like them. I've had people in the past when I was counseling, my mouth literally hung open in the evil they were doing. But in the same breath, I knew without the grace of God, that was me. And as believers, sometimes we judge harshly. And we condemn people. But if we take our eyes off Jesus and God's grace, we're going to, because we will walk in self-righteousness, which is pride. And it's connected with religion and not relationship with Jesus. And we're called to love. Love does not condone sin. Sin is sin, and you cannot compromise sin. But I want to say, how often we justify our sin. Well, it's not as bad as this sin. But yet scripturally, let's say gluttony is a sin and not inherit the kingdom of heaven. But somehow we make it more evil than homosexuality. I want to say there are greater consequences to certain sins and there's greater perversion. But one sin leads us to hell without Jesus. And as soon as we take our eyes off Jesus and what he did on the cross, our sin becomes small. And we need to be careful. If we really, God being a just God, if we really understand that, we should stand in awe. Number one, without God in our lives, we're back in Genesis. Do you remember before the flood, it said that every intent of their thoughts, of their heart, was only continually evil. Do you understand that the Holy Spirit restrains evil in this world? And he restrains evil in our hearts. Because it says scripturally, our hearts are continually wicked. Without Jesus, I can make Adolf Hitler look good. Without the Holy Spirit restraining me, move over. And how often we forget that. And we judge harshly. And we need to remember our flesh opposes the things of God. It opposes justice. Because we're God. And we will justify our sin. But how do you reconcile God, Jesus Christ, coming, dying, bearing our sins on the cross, when we were his enemy? How is that just? Someone dying for your sins, but it's God himself. All I can see in that is such love, such mercy, that he died that we could be just and righteous before him. Over and over, when you look through scripture, Jesus is our righteousness. Because I look through my day, I know what I think. I'm not righteous. But when God looks at me, I am righteous in him because of Jesus. I am just because of Jesus. But again, if I make my sins small, I don't need Jesus that much. I'm a good person. And how often we get caught in that. And how often I deal with people who are angry with God because they were a good person. Why did he allow that? Well, number one, we live in a fallen world. But number two, we've all had bad things happen to us. But there's a promise for the believer that God works all things for good for those who love him and are called to his purpose. And in the midst of such evil and injustice, like my friend, Pastor Tristan, who lost his three-year-old daughter. In the midst of it, he didn't understand. But 8 years later, he sees how God used it for his good and for God's glory. And he can say, I don't understand, but God is just and God is good. But be careful when we're in the midst of a trial, when bad things happen, to question God. Because that's our nature. And like I said earlier, we're going to wrestle. But where are you going to land at the end of the day? If you wrestle with doubt and you let it go, you'll be questioning who God is. But at the end of the day, you go, God, I don't understand. But I know you're always good. You're always faithful. Your wisdom is perfect. Thus your ways are perfect. And I choose to trust you. That is where we need to land. And like the woman who was murdered in the little town of Hackensack, 2 miles away from my home, as far as I know, the man is still free to still rest that God is just. But I want to add to that. Because part of me in the flesh wants to just go deal with the man in an ungodly way. But I think of Nehemiah, who found out that the people were sinning. They were marrying women from other nations and having children. And that was against the law. They knew that was wrong. And when he heard it, he tore his clothes. He fasted and prayed and wept. And I want to say, we are called to the same. Am I fasting and praying for that man who killed that woman? Praying for his salvation? Am I fasting and praying and crying out to God for a brother or sister in the Lord who is caught in sin? Or do I walk in judgment? Because if I look at what Christ did for me, I have no option but to fall on my knees and pray for them. Because I deserved eternal damnation. I deserve hell. But Christ, out of his love for me, laid down his life. It's not the least thing to do when we turn on the TV and we see politicians lying and nothing ever happens and they justify their lie and they twist it and you can see it. Okay, my flesh wants to react. But am I going to walk by my flesh or am I going to walk by the Spirit? And am I going to pray for their salvation? And am I going to pray for repentance? The just thing is one I feel like in the flesh is strike the puppies down. And hell seems justified. But in the Spirit, I don't want anyone going to hell. Like I said earlier, sometimes like a year for some of them. But this is eternity. And God is so clear that he desires all men to come to know him, all men to repent. He desires no one to go to hell. And yet, in the same breath for us, it's only by his grace we're saved. Do we rejoice in that? That Jesus came to save the unjust while he's just. It should change the way I look at people. And I just... How often we look at the Trinity differently. It's the Father is the God of the Old Testament. And he's harsh. You know, he kills out nations who are not following him. He sends Israel for 400 years in Egypt to become slaves. But we can't forget Jesus is the exact representation of who the Father is. God is just in what he does, but his heart is all about mercy and love and that desire that we repent. So when we look at the world, I hate saying this, but you're never going to find justice, that perfect justice we all desire. For we live in a broken world, and let's rejoice, there will be one day where Jesus returns, and there will be perfect justice. But not until then. So what, as Christians, how should we live our life? I think Micah's chapter 6 or 8, kind of gives us a glimpse. With what should I come before the Lord and bow before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will God be pleased with 1,000 rams or 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgressions, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O man, what is good. What does the Lord require of you? To do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. Again, as Christians, I think here's where we have failed. We say we love justice, but we judge what we see is right in our own eyes, and we fail to love. Because it's more about being right in our own eyes than truly loving. And I want to say, listen carefully. Justice without love means nothing. You can't, for us, we cannot separate the two. Because with love brings humility. When we're dealing with someone that we're repulsed by their sin, love is saying, because it brings humility, I am no better than them. God, use me to minister to them. But pride will say, get away from me. How could you ever do that? And sometimes I fear we've judged that way. Now, saying that, again, it's not justifying their sin. But it is saying, without the grace of God, that's me. And God, help me, use me to bring him to repentance. Use me to be a light to show them how much you love them. In Matthew 7:1-5, Jesus talks about this. It says, don't judge others, or you will be judged. You'll be judged in the same way you judge others. And the amount you give to others will be given to you. Why do you notice the little piece of dust in your friend's eyes, and you don't notice the big piece of wood in your own eye? How can you say to your friend, let me take that little piece of dust out of your eye? Look at yourself. You have that big piece of wood in your own eye. You hypocrite. First take the wood out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to take the dust out of your friend's eye. And in pride, man, Mark, get that big piece of log out of your eye. But in reality, It's in my eye. And in Luke 6:37, Jesus said, "Don't judge others, or you'll be judged. Don't accuse others of being guilty, or you will not, and you will not be accused of being guilty. Forgive, and you'll be forgiven." If we know how we've been forgiven, it's really hard to judge. When I was in graduate school, my Crohn's disease flared up, and I was dropping in weight. And doctor said at one point, it's like, "You're going to have to go into the hospital. You're going to die." I was like, "Yeah, I know the routine." And so I went into the hospital, and the day before, I can't describe it other than the day before I went in, the Spirit of God left me. It was the most lonely time in my entire life. And in that time, there was this overwhelming awareness that I was the worst sinner in the world without Jesus. Because before, I could argue, well, I've never been drunk. I've never been high. I haven't done the sins of my friends. But with that, God was doing a work. Because in counseling, you hear of sins that, honestly, sometimes I put it Hollywood hadn't thought of yet. I don't know about now. But it was really hard to judge, knowing without God, that's me. And to give grace and mercy and to pray for them versus stand and go, "I would never do that." I think of, do you remember the story about the adulterous woman that's brought before Jesus? The Pharisees are all proud. "We got you now, buddy." And so her caught in adultery meant she needed to be stoned. That was the law. We often wonder, where was the guy? It was only the woman they brought. But Jesus said two things that were very profound. He said, "He who is without sin, cast the first stone." And they began to walk away. Because they realized, yeah, I have sinned. And then secondly, he said to the woman, "Repent. Sin no more." As we realize what Jesus has done for us, the just dying for the unjust, are we going to repent? Are we going to turn from our sin? Or are we going to justify it? Because I think sometimes we get confused what repentance is and what is remorse. And their fruits are very different. I can't tell you the number of times I was utterly frustrated counseling, especially within the church, because an abused wife would come to me, and at that point she was usually ready to separate or had left home, and all lo and behold, all of a sudden the husband became religious and changed his life, and I kept arguing, "He hasn't changed. His heart hasn't changed. There's no repentance. It's just remorse. He's just figuring how, what he's going to need to do to get his wife back." And there's so many times that the pastors or the elders or even other therapists say, "He's changed." And I was like, "No, he hasn't." And eventually the wife would go back against usually my counsel. And within 2 or 3 months, he was back abusing. Because repentance means there's a change of life. That I'm going to change and I get my life right with God. Remorse is just like, yeah, I'm sorry if I got my hand caught in the cookie jar. But I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. I just want what I want. When we repent, it's about, what does Jesus want? I want to be right before him. Not, I just want my life to go back the way it was. And that's where I think we all need to be praying, God, please, in my heart, grant me repentance. Because I'm not capable without his grace to repent. And I don't want to settle for remorse. And I want to say we need to remember, how do we do that? I think of Hebrews 12, 1 through 2. So let us run the race before us and never give up. Let us remove from our lives anything that would get in the way and the sin that so easily holds us back. Other translations say sin that entangles us. Let us only look to Jesus, the one who began our faith and who makes it perfect. With remorse, how often people will, I can do it. And they're busy trying to change themselves. And repentance is saying, I can't do it without you, Jesus. I can't overcome this sin without you, and they cling. And how often we want God to zap us, remove it. But here's my argument. In my wrestling with sin, it forces me to cling to him. And in that clinging to him, I grow in him. Versus if he zaps me, I don't have that growth. I have to wrestle with my faith. I have to wrestle with my need for Jesus every moment, every day. And then I see him freeing me, and I see his goodness. I'm thankful when God zaps people, but I'm thankful when God lets them wrestle that leads them to knowing him more and true repentance. But we need to remember the power of sin. So this week, my daughter killed a dreaded fox. I think we got a picture of it. It was attacking our chickens. And all I'm going to say, and this is a warning to you all, don't mess with who she loves. She chased that puppy down with a stick. And then, well, she couldn't catch it. And then she waited patiently and then shot it because it was messing with what she loved. And shouldn't that heart, our heart be the same when it comes to sin? Because when we sin, it's messing often with those we love, and it's messing with our love for Jesus. And we should take it seriously. So, in conclusion, we have to remember God is just, even in this broken world. And we have to remember his justice is eternal. Let's be praying for those who we don't want to pray for. And let us tremble with the sin that we wrestle with, but rejoice They, by his grace, he leads us to repentance. Let's cling to him. And be careful not to judge people that you're better. You would never do that. But choose love. But I also want to say with love, it means speaking the truth. But there's that praying of God, when do I say what I need to say and guide my words? Again, Jesus died for our sins. Perfectly just for us who is unjust. We got to rest there. Be careful not to doubt that. Amen. Okay, what am I?